The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This program is brought to you each week by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, as well as the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Welcome to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris. I'm here with my co-host, Kerry Clark. And we would invite you to take your Bibles and to read the scriptures with us, because this is a live radio call-in talk show. And we would invite each and every one of you to call in and ask questions or make comments. And it doesn't even have to be relevant to what we are speaking about tonight. And what I want us to do is to go back a couple of weeks. By the way, the telephone number is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. keqx@rocketmail.com. Now that's 254-445-2473. A couple of weeks ago, we started a study on the seven keys to personal growth. And we started with loyalty. And the reason we started with loyalty is because that is the foundation to our spiritual growth. When we are loyal, we can use it as a foundation upon which we can grow and upon which we can get stronger in our own faith. But we've got to be loyal. And we even introduced the definition of loyal. It is steadfast in allegiance, are steadfast in devotion or duty. And even though the English word is not found in the King James Version of the Bible, the concept of loyalty is certainly there. And before we move on, I would like to make mention of one other thing. Tonight there is a candidate forum, a political candidate forum that is taking place in the City Hall Agave at Stephenville, Texas. It is a place where you can go and ask candidates, listen to what they stand for, and ask candidates questions. Friends, as we have been saying over and over and over again, we're going to be held responsible for what our representatives do for us. And so we need to know whether they are voting for abortion, or whether they are trying to uphold the radical homosexual agenda, or what they have to say about the hate crimes bill, which actually I think we'll even get into tonight, which is trying to silence every Christian that is out there, not just preachers, but every Christian that wants to contend for the Word of God. And so it's very important that we know who we're voting for. And if you have a chance, 6 p.m. is when it starts. You can go listen to these guys and ladies that are running for office, and you can ask them questions and see what it is exactly that they stand for. Now, getting back to loyalty, Kerry, last couple of weeks ago, we started this, and we began with a biblical example of loyalty, and it was with King David. Before he became a king, he was he had 30 mighty men with him, and they were in a cave, and he was just kind of speaking to himself that how he wished that he could have some of that water down at the well of Bethlehem. Back when he was a young kid, he must have remembered that. And yeah, three of his mighty men decided, well, if that's what he wants, that's what we're going to get. And they showed us what true loyalty is. And in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, Kerry, if you'll look there along about verse 13 through 17, why don't you read that for us? And let us look again at what this true loyalty as to do, an example, a biblical example of true loyalty is.
Well, the context, David, you remember that King David is surrounded by the enemy, the Philistines. And it says in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 13 that three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold or a cave, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it unto David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And David, as you've already said, this is a biblical example of loyalty. We would even say above and beyond the call of duty.
Yes.
He didn't even ask them to go. And they heard him make that statement, like you said, I'd just like to have a drink of that water. And boy, they fought through the Philistines. They got the water and they brought it back to him. And friends, that's the kind of loyalty that we need to have for the cause of Christ today.
Absolutely. They laid their lives on the line for David in the same fashion that we should lay our lives on the line for Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
This is the loyalty that we're talking about, and this is the loyalty that's got to be built up here. Now, we can translate this very same loyalty into every aspect of our life, Kerry. For example, we need to be loyal Americans.
Right.
And there is some loyalty that each and every one of us ought to have to the fact that we are an American. And I think you and I both talked about it earlier when we say the Pledge of Allegiance. That is a pledge of our devotion to the American flag, which is an emblem representative of the country in which we live. And we've got to have that kind of loyalty for our country in order to be even in the armed services, you might say.
Yes. And David and I both have kids in the military, and we understand that they have to take an oath that they are going to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. And in reality, as David mentioned, friends, all of us need to be loyal to our country. And if we are from America, if you had the privilege of being born in America, then you have certain responsibilities that comes with that birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And we might even call it a self-evident truth that I need to be loyal to the United States of America. And so as we go through this study, friends, we need to understand that loyalty means that we are pledging our devotion to, in this instance, the United States of America, but in the instance, as we're talking about on our radio program through the Bible, we need to be loyal to the Word of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when we're talking about being a loyal American, we're not talking about being loyal to a piece of dirt. We're not talking about being loyal to a group of people, more or less. We are talking about being loyal to a set of values that are expressed in the Constitution of the United States of America, which is the supreme law of our land. And so we must be loyal. And as you said just a moment ago, everybody that gets into the military, that goes through basic, that is when they take their oath of allegiance.
That's right.
And that oath of allegiance is not to the president, it's not to the Congress, it's not to the Supreme Court. The oath of allegiance is to the Constitution of the United States of America. And that is the allegiance that we have. And sadly, many people don't even know what the Constitution of the United States of America has to say, Kerry. And they are supposed to be loyal to this United States of America. It's fascinating to point out that as loyal as we are to be to our country, we are to be even more loyal to our Lord.
Yes.
And we are to be loyal not only to Him as God, but as to His Word, which defines Him. And sadly, in the same sense, many today don't know what the Word of God has to say or the law under which we live has to say.
You know, David, as you look at the Bible, and my mind immediately when you said that jumped to Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6, where mm-hmm. God said of the nation of Israel, "For my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Ignorance of the Word of God is rampant in America. I mentioned it last night in my Sunday evening service, the fact that, we are ignorant of what the Bible actually teaches. David, we don't know what for the most part, what the Bible says a person needs to do to become a Christian, what the Bible says that a person needs to do to live the Christian life, what a Christian needs to do in their worship to God. And because of that ignorance, you've got men who play upon us, and I'm saying us, not necessarily David and I, but the general public of what we call Christians today, and they push all kinds of false doctrine, all kinds of false worship, and yet the people love to have it so. And so God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he goes on to explain in Hosea 4 and verse number 6, it wasn't that they didn't have access to knowledge, but God said, you've rejected knowledge. And because of that, God said, I'm going to also reject thee. And so, friends, we need to get our nose in this book. We need to know what the book has to say, and we need to live it out in our lives on a day-to-day basis. And so, David, we talked about this a little bit, but the motto for the Marine Corps is Semper Fi, which we pointed out is a shortened form of Semper Fi Delis, which means always faithful, always loyal. Right. And so, friends, we need to have that attitude toward God in our lives.
Right. And it's interesting when we're talking about Semper Fi, and we take this same oath, the oath that the military takes toward the Constitution, we take that same oath toward Christ. But we can't give our oath to Christ without giving it to his word. In John chapter 12 in verse 48, he says, he that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, Carrie, it doesn't make any difference whether we unintentionally reject that word of Christ or whether we intentionally reject that word of Christ. It's still going to be rejected. And so in order for us to be faithful to the word of God, we've got to at least know what God requires of each and every one of us to, in order for us to be faithful to him.
Well, that's exactly right. So we need to talk about how to demonstrate that loyalty to God. And friends, in demonstrating our loyalty to God, you know, we need to, as we pointed out a couple of weeks ago, we need to adjust our schedules and make them fit with God's schedule.
Right. Absolutely right.
You know, David, I see it so many times where we have someone who is a member of the church, and something comes up, some kind of sport activity for their child or some kind of school activity for their child, and the parent will even remove that child from worship and go and participate in these secular activities that may be nothing wrong with it in and of itself. Nothing wrong, as far as I know, with participating in football, for instance, but if I allow this activity to take me away from the activity that God has said I ought to be doing, that's wrong. And David, I've heard people say, well, you know, well, when they signed up for football, they signed up for this. And my response has always been, well, when you became a Christian, you signed up for worship before you became a football player.
Absolutely.
Or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
And we've got to get back to loyalty, adjusting our schedule. The Bible still says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is.
Right.
Hebrews 10 and verse 25. And we've got to take that to heart, people.
Well, not only that, we have a profession of our faith. And the profession of our faith is just as much a vow as the vow that the military, the United States of America, takes toward the Constitution of the United States to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. That is their vow. Our vow as a Christian is to uphold Jesus Christ and uphold his word, whatever that word is.
That's right.
And those men in uniform are upholding that Constitution, whatever that Constitution is. Now, we spent, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 months not too long ago talking about the Constitution of the Bible.
Yes.
It was the Sermon on the Mount. And the Constitution of the Bible is just a man-made term that we attach to it.
Right.
That just showed us that everything else in the Bible always comes back to that. Now, we take a vow, the profession of our faith, And a lot of people are not realizing this. When they become Christians, they make a vow. It's just like a marriage. It is the same kind of vow that is made in a marriage, and we're going to get into that later. But I believe you have a passage of Scripture there for us in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning there in verse number 23, where we are told about this profession of our faith.
David, before I read that, we do want to give the phone number
out. Absolutely.
254-445-2473. That's the call-in number, 254-445-2473. Or, as we've already said, send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Hebrews 10 and verse number 23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith." Now, watch this, David. "Without wavering." And then he tells us why. "For he," that is God, "is faithful that promised." David, very clearly, we're to hold fast that profession of our faith. What is that profession, David?
The profession of our faith, when we become a Christian, when we are obedient to God's plan of salvation, we are professing to the world at that particular point. We are making a vow to God and showing the world through our confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and through our obedience to God's plan of salvation, that we are first and foremost in our life, we are a Christian, first and foremost. You see, with God, what a lot of people don't understand, with God, it's first place or no place.
That's right. I mean, you can't put God on the back burner.
No.
Because he told us through Jesus Christ in Matthew 6 and verse number 33 to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And then God said, "And all these things shall be added to us," or Jesus said, "All these things shall be added to us." David, if God is not first, then he's not there.
No, absolutely.
Because he's not going to take second place.
It's first place or no place.
That's right.
And we need to understand that. And the profession of our faith, the confession of our faith, and our obedience to the gospel plan of salvation that he's outlined for us in this book, that is what is the profession of our faith. And that is what we've got to hold fast to without wavering, he said. And then he compares our faith to his faith.
That's right.
He said, now, if our faith is going to be without wavering, it's got to be just like Jesus' faith, just like God's faith. He is faithful, which
That's right.
has promised.
That's right.
And we need to have that kind of faith as we look at the loyalty that we must have. Right along with that, Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 24, he says, "God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, what he's telling us here is, along with that faithful profession that we've got, there is a way that we must worship him. We can't just decide, Carrie, you can't just go off and decide, you know, I believe I'm going to worship God this way. And then I'm going to go over here and I say, well, you know, I believe I'm going to worship him this way. No, if we're going to hold fast to the profession, we're going to hold fast to the Word. And the Word of God dictates to us how it is that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Well, friends, that's exactly right. And if you want to join us in this discussion, as we've already said, we would love to hear your comments about the topic that we're on, or if you have just a Bible question about something that maybe you want to have a little bit better understanding, then certainly David and I are here to participate in that. But the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. And it's time for us to take a break right now, and so we'll see you on the other side of the break. Friends, welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course I have with me David Harris, and we're going through and looking at loyalty. We're looking at seven keys to personal growth, and what we're trying to do is to help all of us to grow in our relationship with God. And in reality, that's the thought when David and I were given this opportunity to come on the radio. We wanted to help people in their relationships with God, and that's really our point. And if you would like to join us in our discussion, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. 445-2473 or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. We've looked at the fact that our loyalty is to lie with God. God must come first in our life, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. In doing that, we pointed out that we need to make sure that we adjust our schedule so that our schedule fits with God's schedule. And we pointed out from Hebrews 10 and verse number 25 that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. David, we must stand with God's people. It's frustrating sometimes when you see people who are claiming to be loyal to God, and yet they're not willing to stand with godly people who are standing for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to stand for God and no one else. And we also need to be reliable messengers of the Word of God. There are so many today who are twisting the Scriptures that we need to stand and boldly proclaim the message of God. And then we've got to follow Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to open in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. If you have the opportunity, grab a Bible. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, David, as you look at this and you break this down, Jesus said, if you're going to be a follower of mine, you've got to deny yourself. What does it mean to deny self?
Well, you know, and let's back up to the follower.
And
that has to do with that individual who has made that profession of his faith that we were talking about just a moment ago. There are a lot of people that are, I like to call them pseudo followers. They would like to follow Christ, and once they decide to do it, they do pretty good until there's a little pothole in the way, and that's when they want to bail out. But Jesus is saying, whosoever is going to follow me, whosoever is going to make this profession of faith, is going to have to deny himself of some of the worldly pleasures. He's going to have to deny himself. In other words, he's going to have temperance. And
that's right.
Word temperance is self-control. Self-control, temperance, you find it in the fruits of the Spirit. You also find it in the Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1.
That's right.
And he demands temperance of each and every one of us. Now, that means that I can't do things that will destroy my body. That means I can't do things that would destroy my spiritual welfare. And so in order to know what I can and what I can't do and what is acceptable and what is not acceptable to God, I have got to know what His will is revealed to me.
You know, David, it's amazing that we don't begin with that premise that I've got to know what God said.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to know what God expects of me. You know, David, when you think about the marriage relationship, and we're going to talk about that in a few moments. But when you talk about the marriage relationship, one of the things, and David, I know that you've done this as well in our careers as being gospel preachers, there's been times that people have come to us and they want for us to help counsel them. Maybe they're having some problems and so forth. And David, I would say the majority of times that people have come to me and asked for help, when you break it down and started looking at it, there was no communication.
Right.
The wife didn't know what the husband wanted, and the husband didn't know what the wife wanted, and there was this failure to communicate. And obviously, God has communicated to us what He expects of us, and yet we don't even take the time to open up His Word and see what He expects of us.
Exactly. And it's, you know, when people come to see others for marital counseling,
yes,
spiritual counseling in their marriage, they don't really care what my opinion is.
Right.
And they don't need to know what my opinion is. What they do need to know is what God's instructions are concerning that husband and wife relationship, and then not be ashamed of it. You know, you mentioned just a moment ago that we've got to stand with God and His people, and that we've got to be reliable messengers, and then that we've got to know and we've got to follow Jesus. And all of this has to do with us knowing and not being ashamed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's just exactly what Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He wasn't ashamed. He was ready to die for it.
Yes.
But we find so many people today that would go everywhere in the world. They go to Oprah Winfrey before they go to God to get instruction and on their marriage and on a relationship that is supposed to last for a lifetime. And frankly, that is one of the problems that we have with divorce in this country, is that people have rejected God's word concerning marriage, and they have taken man's word concerning marriage. And this is what this program is all about. You have heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say, and let's get it right.
Well, David, we want to, again, give out this number to call, and we're doing this, obviously, to get participation from our listeners. And so we would love for you to have a comment or a question along this line. Give us a call at 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Or you can also email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Friends, what do you think God expects of you when it comes to being loyal to Him? Is this the same kind of loyalty, or even deeper loyalty, than we have in our marriage vows and our marriage relationships? What kind of loyalty does God expect, and where do we go to find that loyalty? And so we want you to be a part of this call-in talk show as well. And David, maybe it'd be good for us at this point to go ahead and move in to Ephesians chapter 5, where we're going to see the marriage relationship discussed. But in reality, he's not talking about marriage between a man and a woman. He's talking about marriage between Jesus Christ and the church, and he simply uses marriage of a man and a woman as an example right. of what this marriage relationship is to be with Christ and his church. And before we go any further, David, we need to point out it is his church, singular.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. That church is singular, and yet, David, we have people in the world today saying, well, join the church of your choice.
Right.
And it needs to be, no, I want to find the church of God's choice and
right.
see what God has said.
It's interesting, as we go through the Bible, as we read God's revealed will, that we find that what we have here are word pictures to help us see what he's trying to tell us. Where he can paint the picture, it's just as if he were taking the brush and painting the picture on a canvas for us, so that we can look at the illustration, we can read the words, put the illustration and the words together, and it ought to be just crystal clear to us.
That's right.
Here in Ephesians chapter 5, what we have is the marriage relationship between a man and a woman, and at the same time we have the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. Jesus Christ being the bridegroom, or the husband, and the church being the bride. And so when we look at this, and Carrie, I think at this point we need to go ahead and read the word picture, and then let's jump in here and make some comparisons that Jesus is giving us to make the illustration.
Well, David, I believe that's right. And friends, if you wanna open with us to Ephesians chapter 5, David and I were talking about this earlier, and to set the context, in verse 14, he says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, David, that sets up what we just said.
Absolutely.
Because we need to understand the will of God. But, friends, I think it's interesting that he tells us that we're to wake up. And America today, we need to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
We need to wake up to what's going on around us, not only politically, but religiously as well. We need to wake up. We need to rise from the dead. We need to walk circumspectly, redeem the time, because we're living in the days of evil. And he says, you've got to be wise and understand the will of God. And in this, he begins the context in verse 21 by saying, yes.
Before you go on, he says, be not unwise. Now, another word for unwise is foolish.
Yes.
And if he says, walk circumspectly, that means walk according to the directions.
Right.
And don't be foolish.
Yes.
Now, this sounds to me just exactly like a good father telling his children,
that's right,
look, don't hurt yourself. I'm going to tell you just exactly the way it's going to be. Don't be foolish. Walk according to the directions.
Yes.
And now he's going to give us the directions. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's fine. That's great. Ephesians 5 and verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. David, and we'll talk about this in detail, but I'm going to throw this out there. What would you do if I came into your house and told your wife, Joy, that she needs to do something that you've told her not to do?
I'd be very angry with you and with her as well.
Okay. So he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Yeah, your wife is not in submission to me. She's
absolutely
in submission to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. David, how are we to submit unto the Lord?
Totally. Loyally.
And so, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, in how many things, David?
All of them.
In everything. That's tough. Husbands, now listen to this. We often use these verses to tell wives, now you've got to submit to me, but sometimes I think we forget to point out, husbands, we've got a responsibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it goes right back up there to verse 21 where you just started, submitting yourselves one to another.
That's right. Listen to verse 25, Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husband, do you love your wife enough to die for her? Do you love her enough to let her have a part in the discussion about what's going to go on in your marriage? That's what we're seeing, this love that Christ had. He died for the church, verse 26, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. No man hates his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now listen to this. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And by the way, David, the chapter ends there, but man put that chapter in there.
Right.
Notice what he said in chapter 6 and verse 1.
He's right with the family.
Yeah. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
He,
sometimes those chapter breaks throw everything out, but he's laying down, you've got the husband, you've got the wife, and you've got the children.
Right.
And here's the way we're to conduct ourselves in that marriage relationship,
right,
in that family, that home.
And here is the picture that he's painted. What he has painted, and he says, this is a great mystery. He said, but I tell you, and that's in verse 32, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, he has set himself up as the husband, and he has set the church up, the body of believers, professed, baptized, penitent believers.
Yes.
He has set them up as the wife, the body, the church. Okay, so he's got, just like I've got, one wife.
That's right.
He is the head of this family. And just as you asked me just a moment ago, If I have instructed my wife to do a certain thing, and she has agreed that, yes, this would be the thing to do, and another man comes into my home, and he tells my wife, don't you worry about what your husband said. Here's what I want you to do, and it will be better, or it'll be more fun, or you'll like it better, or it might even sound better to you if you do it my way. I tell you, I would be absolutely furious if somebody interrupted my situation, my family situation, with instructions such as that. That would infuriate me. Now, Jesus has the very same situation here. It's the same family relationship. He is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. And now here comes somebody, and Jesus has told us just exactly what he wants us to do. And now somebody comes in here and says, no, wait a minute. I got a better deal. You're going to like this better. What do you think that's going to do to the husband of that family relationship? I understand we're up against a break. Chris is adamant about these breaks. And we're going to take a little break here. The telephone number to call is 254-445-2473 or email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris. I have here with me Kerry Clark, and we would invite you to give us a call at 254-445-2473. Or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, we are considering today the seven keys to personal spiritual growth, and the first of these keys is loyalty. And the reason that loyalty was selected first is because this is going to lay the foundation for the rest of our spiritual growth. We've talked about so far, we talked about the loyalty that a person has as an American, the loyalty that a person has as a soldier or as an individual in the armed forces of the United States of America. Loyalty has to do with duty. It has to do with respect. It has to do with service. It has to do with honor. It has to do with integrity. It has to do with courage. And we talked about that Semper Fidelis, always faithful, one of the mottos of the Marine Corps. And it is also a motto, whether we know it or not, it is a motto that describes the profession of our faith that we talked about just a moment ago. When we read in the scripture in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 that we are to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that is promised. And so he implores us to be loyal. And this is just one of the self-evident truths of the Bible. God wants us to be faithful to him. Now, when we were describing faithfulness, we pulled out several examples in the Bible. So far, we've talked about the example of King David and his men and their loyalty that they had toward him. And then we read in Ephesians chapter 5, where he told us to be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then with this, he gives us and he begins telling us about the husband and wife relationship. Now, we can relate to that husband and wife relationship, each and every one of us. Kerry, you know and I know that your wife belongs to you, my wife belongs to me. I have no right to go in there and interfere and tell your wife to do something that is contrary to what you told her, nor do you have the same right to come over and tell my wife something that is contrary to what I have told her. Now, Jesus is telling us the very same thing in this husband and wife relationship of Ephesians chapter 5, also the relationship between Jesus Christ being the bridegroom or the husband and the church, which is the bride, of which we are. Now, he only has one bride.
That's
there
right.
Is no other bride that he has. He's got one and one and only bride. And I want you to notice when we got down there to verse number 31, it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, brings that all the way back from when God instituted the marriage relationship in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. And you know, after God created everything, he created man and saw that that was not good that man should be alone. And He created woman that she should be his helpmeet. Now, he didn't back off and look at that and say, you know, I've created everything very good here. Now I'm going to see how I can make man miserable. I'm going to create him a wife. Now, that is not what he had in mind when he created the wife for the man. So there is a sense here when we've got to look at creation even, God made this for the benefit and for the good of both husband and wife. And when we look at this, the church is made for both the good of Jesus Christ and the church, the husband and the wife.
You know, David, and you stop and you think about that, and you put that principle into practice and understand that the Bible says that God created a helper that was suitable for man. You look at the relationship between the church and Jesus Christ. And you see that that relationship, as you've just described, God put it there for our own benefit. God, as you said, didn't do this just by accident. Mm-hmm. He had a plan in mind, and it's interesting that God's plan starts in Genesis chapter 2 with a marriage between a man and a woman, but God had something about 4,000 years out in the future in mind, and that was the establishment of the church. So he gave man 4,000 years of preparation to understand this relationship between the husband and wife, and then God says, now look, that's the relationship that I was really wanting you to see, was Jesus Christ and his church.
Right.
Now, David, we've got men today, following up on the illustration that you had earlier, that men today who will say, for instance, when it comes to God's plan of salvation, where the Bible says that Jesus said it himself, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16 and verse 16, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. And yet, David, we have men today who say, well, you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. You know, they're teaching he that believeth is saved.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can be baptized later on or not, doesn't matter.
According to them.
According to them. Now, David, how must that make Christ feel?
Well, you know, when I mentioned just a moment ago, when God made the wife for the man, he did not do that to make him miserable.
No.
But when we look at how people today are violating the instructions of the bridegroom to the church, men coming in here and telling the church or the bride of Christ, telling them not to listen to the husband, listen to me. You can't, I don't believe that you could get a man alive to say that he could go for that. Not a man. If you did, I would have absolutely no respect for him.
Yeah,
if he did,
he's not a man, is he?
No, absolutely not. And it's got to make Jesus Christ absolutely furious when a man comes in and changes the directive that Jesus Christ has given to his church.
And you know, David, when you follow the logic of God's plan of salvation, that we hear the word of God. That's how we get faith. Romans
mm-hmm.
10 and verse
mm-hmm.
17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And then we're to repent of our sins. Now follow that as if we're going through a marriage process. Repenting of sins would be, if I'm following this logic, and David, maybe we didn't talk about this, so you might... correct me if I'm wrong, but that wouldn't that be like me saying, you know, I've had girlfriends in the past, but I'm not going to be with those girls any longer. I'm going to be, isn't that kind of how the repentance is? I've lived in another way, God, but I want to change now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we make that vow. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we go into the watery grave of baptism, and the Bible says that we're added to the church. We're a member of the family of God. That is our marriage ceremony, is it not?
Absolutely. And not only that, we come up, raised up out of that watery grave, a new man, a new person.
That's
and
right.
Want to walk in newness of life. We no longer think about those old girlfriends
That's
anymore.
Right. That's right.
It's a new man. It's a new person. That was in the past. This is now and forevermore. And that's what we are saying here when we make that profession of our faith. That's exactly the illustration that we have here. And I don't know how the illustration could be any more clear that when Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, he is the head over the church, just in the same way that he says here that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. That would be in verse number 23 of Ephesians That's chapter right. 5. Just in that very same sense, when Jesus Christ, being the head of the church, when he says that this is the way that I want you to worship, we have absolutely no right whatsoever to change that.
Well, David, I was in a discussion the other day with a couple of preachers, and we were discussing that very fact of instrumental music, and they were asking me what was my understanding of the Bible and why did I see that it was wrong. And we pointed out in that discussion, or I pointed out in that discussion, that when God told Noah to build the ark out of gopher wood, I asked these two guys, what if Noah had said, you know, I like pine better? And one of them responded, well, it would have sank. You know, if you mm-hmm. make the ark out of something other than what God said, it would sink. And the other guy said, well, but we're not taking away the gopher wood. We're just adding something to it. And so I said, well, what if Noah would have said, you know, I like gopher wood, but I like pine also, so I'm going to build it out of gopher wood and pine. And the other young man said, well, it would have sunk. When God tells us what he wants, David, that excludes everything else.
Absolutely. There's no other way to do it. Now, the phone number that we have here is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, we're not just pulling this thing out of context here. All through the Old Testament, as God was leading Israel, the nation,
right,
through the wilderness,
yes,
he was a spouse unto them. He was a husband unto that nation. When we get over here in Galatians, in the book of Galatians, we learn that law of Moses that was given them was for only one purpose. It was never established for permanency. It was established to lead us unto Christ. It was only a schoolmaster. It was only a tutor. But now in Christ Jesus,
that's right,
we have forgiveness of sins. In Christ Jesus, we have put on Christ. We are now part of that spiritual body called the church. Now, we belong to Jesus Christ. Now, we read just a moment ago, and beginning in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That would be according to God's will. But we back that thing up as you started just a moment ago. And in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 5, and folks, if you have your Bibles, I want you to read this with me again. It says, wherefore, he says, awake thou that sleep. In other words, you that are spiritually sleeping,
that's right,
wake up out of that spiritual sleep and arise from the dead. You that are spiritually dead, I'm going to give you a chance to live here, spiritually. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. That would be according to the directions, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, he's telling this to us to set up for us how it is that a husband is going to be the head of this entire situation. Then he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, how are we filled with the Spirit?
Through a knowledge of the Word of God.
Through the knowledge of the Word of God. And so, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When we're filled with the Spirit, we have the faith that he's looking for from the Word of God. Now, notice what he says here. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, that is what the head of the church says in order for us to worship him, praise him. There's only one thing that we can give back to God, and that is our praise. He's got everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he owns the world. He owns the universe. We have nothing. It all belongs to him. What can we give back to God? There's only one thing that we can do, and it's praise. So okay. If we are giving praise back to God, how are we to do it? He is the object of our devotion. He is the object of our praise. If he's going to receive the praise, the only thing that we can possibly give to him.
Do it the way he said it.
We got to do it the way he said
it. You know, David, back to that question about where it talked about being filled with the Spirit, and we responded by saying, how do we do that? By the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You may be wondering where we got that notion. Look at Colossians 3 and verse 16, which is an exact parallel to the verse that we've just looked at in Ephesians chapter 5, and here's what it says. Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Listen to this, and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then it goes on to talk about the very same thing that we're talking about. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives. Verse 20, children, obey your parents. So very clearly, David, being filled with the Spirit is letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how anybody can get around that.
No. This all has to do with our loyalty.
That's
to
right.
Jesus Christ. And friends, next week we're going to go on with these seven keys of our personal growth, and we're going to go from loyalty to responsibility, and we're going to find a lot of things that are interconnecting with this, but in order to have a marriage, we've got to have loyalty. In order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we've got to have the same kind of loyalty. And in order to have that same spiritual growth, we're going to have a responsibility to God and to ourselves through His Word. And Kerry, I'm going to let you have the last word, as we are, again, out of time, and I'm going to turn it over to you, and I want to bid God bless to all as we study our words, study the Word of God, and grow in this loyalty toward Him.
You know, David, as you look at it, we've got this building, one building block upon the other, and it starts out with loyalty. If I'm not loyal to God, none of the rest of this is going to make sense. And so we'll hope you can come back and be with us next week as we study the Word of God together, and God bless you as you study His divine Word.